Arts Connection, the intersection of faith and the arts in Canadian culture, with your host, Robert White. Now, here's Robert.
Welcome to Arts Connection for Thursday, May 2nd, 2013. Well, tonight's guest has been described as a, quote, painter with an unusual mastery of color relationships whose non-figurative canvases express a profound, complex, and yet natural connection between the sensible world and the world only invented through contemplated exercise. In other words, Janet Reid's paintings are colorful, imaginative, and spiritual. We're going to talk to Janet, who has paintings exhibited in the Context with Lorna Duick offices in the CBC building in Toronto, among other galleries. We'll talk with Janet in a few moments. But before we do, let's listen to Who Can Hold Me from the Honeycomb Tomb CD by Carla Adolph.
Winter is glass, museum grade, keeping me away from you. All I ask here in this place, please stay a minute or two. Courage and tears, here we can say all that we wanted to. Who can hold me? Who can hold me? Who can wrap their arms around me and keep me from falling in? Come first, rise, all pale.
Now to our interview with Janet Reid. Good evening, Janet.
Hi.
Hey, let's start by giving our listeners a chance to know a little bit about you. How did you get started on the journey that led you to becoming a visual artist and a painter?
I was studying philosophy at University of Toronto, and sort of for fun, I took a course at OCAD at night, and I just got hooked on a life drawing course. I got hooked on drawing and just the feel of the paper and the the joy of making something with your hands.
And OCAD being the Ontario College of Art and Design, right?
Yes.
Yep. So what was it about that whole process that made you decide you want to keep doing what you're doing?
I don't know. I guess it was a way of expressing inner emotions of the joy of actually the process of doing it, of making something, of seeing an idea take place on a piece of paper or a canvas. I love, being lost in the time that you spend making. So I think that's probably how it happened.
So did you shift from philosophy and then start taking courses at OCAD, or did you sort of continue on the philosophy vein and the art was sort of a side project?
I finished my degree and actually did a teaching degree, and then I went to York University part-time for a couple of years, but we moved away from the city, and I ended up sort of continuing studying through community art classes and at Georgian College in Barrie, but very much part-time while I was teaching and doing a multitude of other things.
As you were going through that process, did you sort of come across other artists there that have become sort of an influence on you?
Yeah, I had some really influential teachers that I studied with. One was Jim Padgett, who taught in the Whitby-Durham area at the Station Gallery for many years. And I had a wonderful, wonderful drawing teacher in Toronto, Sue Erickson. I encountered her at the Koffler Gallery and at Ryerson. Interestingly enough, they're both very strong figurative artists. And it was a big moment for me when I realized that abstraction was really my way forward. And it was very liberating to understand that. And I started looking at the abstract expressionists from the 1950s in the United States. And then I think about 10 years ago, I discovered Howard Hodgkin, who's one of Britain's most celebrated abstract painters and who's currently living, and the work of Sean Scully, another British painter. And those were really inspirational.
And what inspired them? How did they inspire you?
Well, I think it's the way that they allow color to carry emotional messages. Hodgkin says that he doesn't paint things, he paints the memory of experiences. And I've always held on to that quotation because I think that's what I do as well. There's always a contact with the world. I'm not trying to make pattern paintings or just pure color. There's always an emotional content, landscape content, some connection to the world, but it is definitely a memory of an experience, not trying to give you a visual interpretation of something you'll see.
Mm-hmm.
And mediated by my memory, my experience, my encounter with other works of art.
Now, one of the things I've noticed as I was going through your website, and that you seem to work in large formats. Is there a reason why you've gone to that particular style?
I think it's the gestural space that you have when you work in large format, so that I'm 5'6", so a 60-inch painting is a good size. So I can, you know, use the gesture of my arm, of my body. It's almost like a dance. You can throw your arm, you can throw paint. It's a physical experience as well, working with the canvas.
So it's not just the emotion that you're getting out and depicting on the painting, and it's actually everything that goes along with that.
Yes, it's the entire experience. So the painting is meant to be an experience for the viewer. And for them to bring their own memories and life experience to seeing it.
Is it more difficult to work in a large format or in a smaller format?
I actually find the large format easier. I actually, strangely enough, I can work on small paintings for a long, long time because I find it difficult to bring them to successful completion, whereas the larger ones, I think because of the relationship of my body to the space, they seem to be more fluid, more, I wouldn't say easier, but they seem to come together more easily in some ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, what we'll do right now is that we'll take a quick break and then continue our conversation with visual artist Shannon Reed. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
I am heard. friend, and hope is old. If I lay down beneath the earth, you are my mama wing, I am your baby bird. You are my mama wing, I am your baby bird.
Back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Mama Wing from Carla Adolph's Honeycomb Tomb CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to continue our conversation with painter Janet Reed. When I was looking through and doing some research for the article, I found this statement of yours that says, I pick up a brush and trace the path of wind and water and pick up a brush and aim it towards the light. How does this describe your creative process as you take, you know, one of your paintings from that whole idea to final work?
I think, again, it's the physical motion or the mark-making that I do is often related to my sense of the way wind moves over water, the presence of waves, and not just the look of waves, but the sort of deep structures of the wind and the current and the waves working through water. And, you know, my rather limited scientific understanding of how that works, especially in Newfoundland, where I did a residency, you're looking at landscape that's been, you know, completely formed and shaped by tectonic forces, by glaciation, by current, and the smoothing of water. So that, like, water is always a process. And I think I bring that knowledge to my mark making and my memory of experiences of water. And I think it's fascinating because it's transparent, and yet it has these deep structures that we're gradually understanding. We're gradually understanding the oceans more and more and how interrelated they are to the atmosphere and how that system works. We'll probably never get to the bottom of it, but That's what's going on in my mind when I'm working.
Mm-hmm.
The sense of how it works, not just the look.
Right. Now, where do you pull your ideas from?
A lot of it is from experiences in traveling, but I'm constantly looking at other painters. I'm constantly reading. I did finish an MA recently in the philosophy of metaphor at the Institute for Christian Studies in Toronto. And I was looking at the work of metaphor in Merleau-Ponty and Paul Ricoeur, because I think often messages or understanding is gained more by way of metaphor than by direct polemic discussion.
Mm-hmm.
I think our imagination teaches us in ways that are perhaps more memorable or endure longer than other kinds of learning.
Well, when you take that memory, and when you take, you know, like you say, the some of the things you've been studying, and you stand in front of a blank canvas, where does it start? Where does it start for you in terms of that creative process to get to the final painting?
Well, that's a tough one. It'll often start with a gesture or a mark. I don't ever have a finished vision of what a canvas will look like. So I'll start. I think it's a lot. I'm also a musician, and I teach music. And I think of it as akin to improvisation. I start with a motive or an idea, and sometimes that idea will be completely buried, or I'll leave a piece for a month, you know, looking at it and thinking, that's not quite working. What does it need? And I'll let it sit, and then it might be something like one more line or a paint or a little splash of red somewhere, something that just pulls it all into relationship.
Mm-hmm. Well, and in looking at that, where does your spiritual journey, your faith come into play as you're going through that creative process?
I was thinking about that the other day. I think a lot of my spirituality has roots in Celtic spirituality, which totally emphasizes an integrated relationship with the natural world. And I think sometimes Christianity has moved away from that dimension of faith into other directions. And I suppose I'm most drawn to that because all living things are created by the Creator, and we have to live in a right relationship with that environment. And it's not really just an environment. It's not a biomechanical environment. It's an environment of other spirits. And I don't say that plants are animate, but we have a responsibility for all of that, for being in relationship that's not consumption and waste.
Mm-hmm. And you're also getting into the whole aspect of the thin places and you know the times of you know where the spiritual and the temporal you know are so close together that there's a very much of a crossover between the two.
Mm-hmm.
You mentioned you're a musician, but you've also published poetry. You've done some juvenile historical novels. Is there anything you don't do as a creative endeavor?
Oh, tons of things I don't do. I'm quite interested in textile and sculptural art, and I would like to work more off the flat surface. It's good to have things you want to go and try and do.
Well, in looking at the music and the writing and the painting, is there a difference between the creative processes of how you approach these different disciplines?
Oh, for me there is, because people have often said, do you want to use text in your paintings? And I think the paintings come from a place without words. As Merleau-Ponty, who's a French philosopher, he would say it was embodied experience. It's pre-linguistic, and I'm bringing that to the paintings, whereas, of course, in language, you're directly communicating, and you've got, you know, the sense of grammar and word and the meaning of words over time. In some ways, you do with painting, with pictures and color, but in language, it comes much more to the forefront.
Well, what led you to sort of go from the pre-linguistic aspect of your paintings to doing a collection of poetry or to doing some youth novels?
Well, poetry, again, it's metaphor. It's sort of expressing your experience in a metaphorical way. So poetry's been part of my life since I was actually a kid. I've always written poetry of some description. I think, again, it's a message by way of indirection. And the juvenile novels came out of an experience. I grew up in Shanty Bay on Lake Simcoe, near where the Black settlement is in Oro Township.
Mm-hmm.
It always fascinated me that, you know, this sort of mysterious abandoned place, and why did these people come here and why did they leave? And so that sort of coalesced as a story. So I'm sort of like a beachcomber. Sometimes you see this wonderful thing to pick up off the beach and you turn it over and you say, oh, I think I can make something with this. That's sort of how the writing happens.
Well, when you look at all the different things you're involved in creatively, and you do, you know, primarily do the painting and that, is there any preference between, you know, the writing, the painting, the music, or are they sort of all equal for you?
I think it varies at times. I'm actually hoping to get time to work on a writing project, but I'm also working on a visual project that's more multimedia, a little bit different from my regular painting. I think it's, you know, it's expressing the idea. It doesn't really matter what the genre of expression is.
Do you ever sort of get to the point where you have this idea and you're going to go, this is going to work better as a painting, or this is going to work better as the written word. Do you ever find yourself sort of trying to figure out which type of expression you're going to use?
Not so much, because I think really from their inception, they're conceived as visual pieces or as poetic pieces or a novel. I mean, each form has its own structure, its own attributes. No, I don't really think, oh, well, should it be this or this? They come sort of saying, you know, I'm an artwork.
Right. Well, we're going to take another break, and after we come back from this final break, we'll wrap up our conversation with visual artist Janet Reed. I'm your host, Robert White, and you're listening to Arts Connection on Faith FM, your inspiration station.
Inside there is a heart tattered and frayed. Summer won't come back. Winter just might stay. I wonder, gray and silver. Two sips of coffee wasted, now cold. A glowing ember from flames once so bold. Believing won't come back to a heart that is so old. I wonder, gray and silver.
Welcome back to Arts Connection. You've been listening to Gray and Silver from Carla Adolph's Honeycomb Tomb CD. I'm your host, Robert White, and we're going to wrap up our conversation with painter Janet Reed. You'd mentioned that you've got another project that you're working on right now that is taking a little bit of a different angle from the painting and that. What are some of the things you are working on right now?
I'm working on a project to do with the watercolors and diary of Elizabeth Simcoe, who came to Upper Canada in the 1700s, 1791 to 96. And I'm not quite sure how it started, but I think part of it, I live in Markham in a suburban area, and I started looking at her diary, which I encountered a long time ago. And I thought, imagine being able to come to Ontario and see it with fresh eyes, to see it in its unbuilt state.
Mm-hmm.
To see Native encampments or First Nations, you know, camping at the mouth of the Humber River. I started envisioning that landscape that she encountered. And, you know, I'm European background, so I'm reading her novel, her diary, trying to see through her eyes, sort of peel away the skin of what's developed in the last 200 years and see that. And I had pieces of live edge planks of cherry sitting in my basement I'd bought for some other purpose. And I thought, well, it would be interesting to put her work as a transfer on the wood so that there's a relationship between her watercolors, the wood that's sort of the structure of the trees that were here, and also bring in the textiles that were common at that time, which were out of India, and they, one of the prime motifs was the tree of life. So again, the metaphor started working, you know, this primeval forest, the tree of life, her fresh eyes, you know, how does that all work? Is there something we can learn from looking back at her experience?
Other than her diaries, did any of her works survive?
Yes, she has hundreds of watercolors. They're in the Ontario Government Art Collection.
Wow.
Well, she was a major sort of recorder of early Canada. She did many, many, many paintings in her travels through Ontario and Quebec.
Mm-hmm. So what are, do you have any exhibits that are upcoming as well?
I'm sending work to Montreal for a show at Galerie d'Avignon, and that will be up May 14th to June 4th. And I'll be exhibiting in Peterborough in the fall, and Toronto after that.
Right. What's the best place for people to find out more information about you and your art?
I think my website's probably the best place.
And the address is?
It's www.janet-reed.com, janetreed.com.
Great.
The hyphen.
Great. Well, Janet, thank you very much for your time tonight.
Thank you for asking me.
Yeah. And thank you for listening to Arts Connection today. Thanking my guest, Janet Reed. And be sure to tune in next week for another look at where faith, arts, and Canadian culture meet. For more information on Arts Connection, email robert@selawministries, that's S-E-L-A-W ministries.ca, or follow us on Twitter at selaw13, S-E-L-A-W 13. For Arts Connection, I'm your host, Robert White, saying good day and God bless.
You've been listening to Arts Connection, a production of Selav Ministries. Be sure to tune in again next Thursday evening at 10, right here on Faith FM.